ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 22 टेक्स्ट नंबर 26। जन्म कर्म वयो रूप विद्या ईश्वर धनाधिभि यदि यस्य न भवेत् स्तंभस् तत्रयम् मद् अनुग्रह। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. If a human being is born in an aristocratic family or a higher status of life, if he performs wonderful activities, if he is youthful, if he has personal beauty, a good education and good wealth, and if he is nonetheless not proud of his opulences, it is to be understood that he is especially favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. When in spite of possessing all these opulences, a person is not proud, this means that he is fully aware that all his opulences are due to the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He therefore engages all his possessions in the service of the Lord. A devotee knows very well that everything, even his body, belongs to the Supreme Lord. If one lives perfectly in such Krishna consciousness, it is to be understood that he is especially favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The conclusion is that once being deprived of his wealth is not to be considered the special mercy of the Lord. If one continues in his opulent position but does not become unnecessarily proud, falsely thinking that he is the proprietor of everything, this is the Lord's special mercy. Hare Krishna. So this chapter, Canto 8, chapter 22, wherein Bali Maharaj has been just made a captive, he has been arrested, and his wife comes, and so does Lord Brahma, who's telling the Lord that he has got enough punishment, now he should be released. And the Lord, in the form of Trivikram, is speaking these wonderful verses. It is personally spoken by the Lord himself. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the Paramahansa Samhita, the scripture which is meant for the Paramahansas and is also meant to make people Paramahansas. So it talks about the highest principles of devotional service. And time and again, through various situations, in the Bhagavatam we see that the important instructions are repeated, so that the listener who is, Shukdev Goswami knew that the audience in due course would be the people of Kali Yuga, who have a very short memory. They tend to forget. You know, if you ask somebody what you did an hour back, sometimes we don't remember. What you ate, we don't remember. So the mind is always in a sublimation. It's not in a sublime state as of now, but a sublimation going on. You know, understand difference? Sublime means it is divine. But sublimation means from solid it goes straight to gaseous. There is no liquid state. So whatever we hear, whatever we do gets sublimated, just gets diffused into, and we forget. So important instructions that are required for the conditioned soul to hear again and again and again and meditate upon them are repeated. So here in the Lord who is about to glorify Bali Maharaj. Very amazing situation that Bali Maharaj is right now tied like a prisoner, as a captive. And the person who did this was the Lord himself, Trivikram, Vamandev. He was the one who made Bali Maharaj the captive. And herein, the Lord is himself about to glorify a prisoner. Does it happen in the material world? Somebody, if a police captures a prisoner, I mean a thief, he is not going to glorify him. He is going to beat him up after catching him and going to give him a lot of punishment. But herein, you see a very amazing thing happening, that he has been captivated, he has been tied by the ropes. As a captive, his wife is begging the Lord. Brahma is saying that to leave him, and Lord Trivikram is about to glorify this person who is a captive. And this is the beginning of the glorification. The Lord is creating a situation. He is giving a very general comment in this verse, that whom does he think has received the real mercy? Mad anugraha. Mad anugraha means should be considered to have received my special mercy. And whom does the Lord consider to have special mercy? The Lord is saying that one who has all the opulences, janma, karma, vayo, rupa, vidya, ishwara, dhanadibi, one who has all these opulences of high status of life, wonderful activities, youthful body, personal beauty, good education, good wealth, and is not proud of his opulences, he has received his special mercy. The Lord is making a general statement. And in the next few verses, you're going to say, it is this great soul, Bali Maharaj, who is like that. So please be sure that this person, even though I have bound him by the ropes, but he has received my special mercy. So very, very amazing situation, that a person who is a cause of the binding of a prisoner is glorifying the prisoner, which never happens in the material world. So the purpose of this Leela is to glorify Bali Maharaj. From this week, it is very evident. The Lord does all the things and made him completely give up everything. Bali Maharaj had practically nothing at this point in time. But the whole purpose of doing this, the whole purpose of tying somebody, try to understand, it was a very humiliating situation. Just, you know, I many, many years back when I was small, you know, in our society, very cultured people are still staying, and they were staying, very cultured people. One fine day, you know, one of our very respectable person who was staying in the society, the police came to his house. And in front of everybody, in the broad daylight, around 8 o'clock in the morning, they took him away, putting handcuffs, and took him away. It was extremely embarrassing. And it was found in due course that he was wrongly arrested. Because it was not they got the wrong information or whatever. But that humiliation was so intense for that person that in a matter of 1 month he died. Even though he came back home, it was proved that there was nothing. Because, but for a respectable person to be taken by handcuffs to the police station in front of everybody was extremely humiliating to such an extent they couldn't get over it. Even though he was back home with his family and the police amply apologized. This man couldn't get over it, the humiliation which he went through. And I mean, very sad. I was a small person. I mean, I was small and I was asking. And then when I grew up, I remember my mother telling me this was the situation because he couldn't take the embarrassment that he went through. It was worse than death. For a person who is honored, in this case, for a person who is respected, a dishonor is worse than death. So try to imagine Bali Maharaj, who was a powerful person. Who was a king. He was Samrat at this point in time. And in matter of, you know, a short time, I don't know how much time it took for Vamandev to, you know, to grow and everything. But in matter of short time, he was tied. He was captive. He was having nothing. From rags to riches, from riches to rags. This is the story of that. Very humiliating. Extremely humiliating. You can imagine what he must be going through. But Bali Maharaj was very happy, Atma Nivedanam. He was so happy. And because he was so happy, the Lord is about to glorify this personality. So this is very, very wonderful. So what we hear in this verse is the aspect of simple living and high thinking. Prabhupada is saying that in his purport, that people have opulences, people have all the wealth and everything, but in spite of having all these things, most of the time in the world, people think that if whenever elders they give blessings, they say you become a rich man. May the Lord make you rich, or may you get opulence, may you get that are the blessings. So they think that the blessing of the Lord is when you get opulences. And Prabhupada is very clearly explaining that what people think, 99% of the people think, that when somebody gets opulence, somebody gets good education, that's the mercy of the Lord. But the Lord is saying, no, that is not the mercy of mine. That can be achieved through your own endeavor. Because you work hard, you can achieve by your own karma, you can achieve this. But the real opulence is that after getting everything that you could get by your own endeavor, you are not proud. That is my real mercy. So that is what the Lord is trying to establish, the important point. What is my real mercy? 99%, we are not talking about people sitting in this room. Because by Krishna's mercy, we have got access to the highest knowledge of spiritual life. But the majority people, what do they think is mercy? I remember many, many years back, whenever dear Stoka Krishna Prabhu, and he was in a bedridden. And I told this story to one of my family members who is not a devotee. And they said, a young man, newly married, his wife pregnant, smart looking boy, having a whole career in front of him, diagnosed with cancer, bedridden, suffering. Oh my God, the God is so cruel to him. The first thing that came is, God is so cruel to him. And that's what 99% of people will think, that yes, God was cruel to Stoka Krishna Prabhu. Because if you see materially speaking, it was terrible. A young man, wife is pregnant. What can be worse than that? You know that you're not going to see your child. And having a career, and he has just settled in his life, he's got a house. And the person actually started crying. My family members, they started crying and said, God is so cruel. But do you think that God was cruel to him? Because we have knowledge, we can, and if we say that God is merciful, they say you are a hard-hearted fellow. Or your God is a hard-hearted person. How can this be called mercy? It doesn't make any sense to people in general. Then how can this be mercy? Because they are seeing from one perspective of life. But a person who has knowledge, that's why, for us, it is natural, we should not be proud of. But 99% people, they can't think that how suffering can be blessing. It's not possible. It's unthinkable. Unthinkable. So that's why we should thank Prabhupada and our spiritual masters and Lord Chaitanya, that we have access to such a very evolved philosophy. And we are so used to hearing it that we don't even feel surprised when we hear it. But outside, people can't even imagine that you can think like this. What we talk of accepting something like this? that's the glory of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So here, he's saying that this opulences, it's not real mercy. But the real mercy is when somebody is not proud. Because what happens, if we analyze briefly for the next few minutes, we'll analyze what happens when we have all this mercy, all the opulences, beauty. We become illusioned, intoxicated, and hallucinated. This situation of getting a high education, I remember. I was many years back, I had gone with Radha Giridhari Prabhu when he was a college preacher. We had gone to IIT for preaching. This is, I would say, in the year 1987, 88. And, we had arranged a program of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj in IIT, in the Y Point or something. Is that a place? I don't know. Some hall, a big program. And, we had advertised, but we were really worried that whether people will come. So we went 1 or 2 hours early, and whomsoever we met, we would just say that, well, there is a nice program by this particular Swami. He is from America. Please come. So we saw these three boys coming from in the front, walking in the IIT hostel, and they look very smart, very regal, from their face you could see they're intelligent people. And, Radha Giridhari Prabhu said, let's go and talk to them and invite them for the program. And we went, and he said, there's a program of Radhanath Swami in so-and-so place, will you please come? The first thing said, hey, do you know who we are? Radha would say, you are students, you are IIT students. I said, this man was AIR 1, this is AIR 2, and this is AIR 5. All India ranking 1, 2, and 5. And they finished their, and they were in their last year of their studies. I said, we all have got admissions to the top university. I forget the name of the university in America. They said some name. To top, and they were brilliant, sharp guys. I said, if you want your Swami to be in trouble, you call us. So Radha Giridhari Prabhu said, please, come. Let us see who will be in trouble. He didn't say that. He said, please come. And we were sure that these guys will not come. Because they were so much intoxicated. We could see that they were intoxicated by education and by the degrees that they have and by the admission that they got in the top university. They are really intoxicated. They were as good as a drunkard. When you meet a drunkard and you talk to him, he doesn't know, and he just talks, you know who I am? You just say, who know who? Me konu? So this, I could draw a very good parallel that a person drunk by wine and a person drunk by education behaves the same way. There's no difference because it is intoxication. All these opulence are intoxicating. So yes, we did we went for the program, and by Krishna's mercy, so many people came, and the lecture was about to start, and we saw these three people entering, like Keshav Kashmiri, coming. Just a month back, I had read the story of Keshav Kashmiri, in Chaitanya. I said, these guys look like Keshav Kashmiri. They're like erudite scholars coming and entering the... And they sat, they really sat with their back straight and really puffed up. And Maharaj delivered a brilliant class, as usual. I mean, it was brilliant. And then after the Maharaj said, any questions? Now, this particular... situation that the speaker opening himself to any questions is only in ISKCON. Nobody else dares to ask this. It's not so usual. It might not be. I mean, it is not so usual that somebody just says any questions. He just opens, and the person is confident that any questions he'll answer. Not that he's answering. It is the mercy of Prabhupada and Krishna who is behind it. He's answering. So he said, any questions, and then we both. From me on one side and Radha Giridhari on the side. I said, shoot. We told them. We nudged them. I said, shoot your questions now, please. They had no questions. I was again saying, Keshav Kashmiri, his mouth is tight now. He can't speak. I was thinking in my mind that how they couldn't speak. I said, come on, ask. They said, no questions. I'm not saying that they became devotees. Maybe. I don't know. But... what I'm trying to drive a point is the intoxication of education. Very intoxicated. When I was in my 10th standard exam, result, we go to the school and get the result. There was a person who was consistently first throughout the whole career, from first to ninth, topper. He was first. And in the 10th standard, we get the marks, right? We have to sit in the class and we get the... There was no internet that time, so there was nothing like internet. We have to get your physical mark sheet. And a person, who was quite a notorious fellow, he stood first. He got the highest. And this person was second. This person was so intoxicated that he ran in the whole school for half an hour. Running all whole school. I remember his name, Sharad. He was just running here and there. They're so intoxicated because, not because he stood first, because he defeated this person. My point is, I'm just going to drive, all of you all have this experience that what happens when you have education, and this was just a topper in a small school in Malad. You know, what is so, it is not one of those, you know, if you connect it to wine, it is not one of those specialized wines which we can be really make. One of the ordinary small tadi madi. What is so great about being stood? There's nothing great. But still he was intoxicated, so intoxicated. Huh? So then we see that this is what happens. Beauty. Beauty, you know. Sorry, but I'm quoting my own school examples. I'm just. I was in school, and before we passed the 10th standard, we had, you know, it's so sad that Western culture is so much part of our Indian life. So sad. In 87, we had this first time in our school fashion contest. I was just told to wear a pant and a shirt and a tie. I went, and they said, now there's a fashion contest. I said, what is fashion contest? They said, you have to walk. You know, and you have to walk, and people will see how you walk. And the way you walk, they will give you marks. I said, what nonsense? What is this walking? So then, you know, one person, he did, what is it, ramp walk? What is it? Something like that. How do you know? So he was doing all this, walk like this, you know, and after walking, they asked a question to him. I said, based on that, you get, so, you know, he gave a, he asked, what do you want to be in the future? You know, 10th standard, what do you want to be? This person was, you know, I remember at that time, he was said, I want to be a brahmachari. He said that. He was not in my school. I want to be brahmachari. But after seeing the Miss School, I changed my mind. And he, very good, very good. And then you got the top prize. This guy was running in the school, meeting all his teachers and showing that I'm the most beautiful boy in the whole school. The point is, I was just going back down the memory lanes. I was thinking that how intoxication at that age, you know, when you are just 15, how you it just gets builds in you, education, beauty, wealth, and all these things. And then it creates such an intoxicated situation. You know, people who get jobs in top companies, they get so intoxicated. We have got an ex-class, I've got a job in Wipro. But in 2 months, he's dismissed, is it not? He gets a job in Wipro, he's very happy, and you know, he's just called by the boss after 3 months. I said, you can't even go back to your desk. You go out, give me your card. And whatever your desk is, we will send it to you. We can't even enter. That's how cruel they are. So it is said that this opulence is create intoxication situation in a person. And when you're intoxicated, you lose the ground reality of life. You don't know what is reality. You're not in the ground level. You're not at ground zero. You are in a different world. So it is said, Jesus Christ also said, a very brilliant statement, that it is difficult for a man attached to wealth to enter the kingdom of God as it is for a camel or an elephant to enter through the eye of a needle. What a brilliant comparison. That you can pass an elephant through the eye of a needle, but it may be not easy for a person with high opulence to become a devotee of the Lord. That's how difficult it is. Because that depends upon the mercy of the Lord. Everything else is your endeavor. But to become a humble devotee of the Lord, what the Lord says, he has received my special mercy. It is only a prerogative of the Lord to whom he wants to give this special mercy. It is not by your endeavor. Material wealth creates illusion. And you can see in the Srimad Bhagavatam so many examples. Gajendra for that matter. So much attached to his family members, the intoxication caused by power and control of family and you know, being a king, highly intoxicated. So intoxicated that you lose understanding what he's into. When the crocodile caught him, the first thought he said, "I'll kill him anytime." That's how intoxicated you are, going to die, my friend. But no, you're intoxicated. You don't know what's happening. All these people, Hiranyakashipu, Ravan, Duryodhan, the intoxicated by power, by youth, by wealth. What sort of intoxication was that? Hiranyakashipu. Ravan wanted to build a staircase to the higher planets. Intoxicated person, how can you ever think of doing like that? Kidnapping Mother Sita, intoxication. So, if we love material opulence, we cannot feel Krishna is our only shelter. It's not possible. There's a beautiful purport which we came across. Yeah, this is the purport to the similar words in which Kunti Maharani plays. She prays the same thing, that for a person to have all the opulences, it is very difficult to be a devotee. And in that, the purport, Prabhupada writes a brilliant purport. Please give attention. It is said in the Shastras that by once uttering the holy name of the Lord, the sinner gets rid of a quantity of sin that is unable to commit. Such is the power of uttering the holy name of the Lord. There is not the least exaggeration in this statement. Prabhupada is saying, you know, when you hear it, you feel exaggeration. Prabhupada immediately is hitting you. No, there is no exaggeration. Before you think, Prabhupada is telling you, no exaggeration. Actually, the Lord's holy name has such powerful potency. But, there is a but. There is a quality of such utterance also. It depends upon the quality of the feeling. A helpless man can feelingly utter the holy name of the Lord, whereas a man who utters the same holy name in a great material satisfaction cannot be so sincere. The same holy name, the same person uttering, but if he has great material satisfaction, he cannot be so sincere. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.8.26 purport. Brilliant purport. Prabhupada is saying the holy name is very powerful. You can give up the sins which you can ever commit. That's how powerful the holy name, one utterance is. But it depends upon the quality. And what is the quality of utterance? That if you have satisfaction. Now he is not saying that if you have material opulence you can't utter. No. But if you are satisfied with that material opulence. That's two different things. Having material opulence is not a hindrance to devotional service. But satisfaction, comfort, security that you experience through the material satisfaction is a danger, and you cannot utter the holy name of the Lord. Not possible. So that is how the danger, the whole purpose of this mood of akinchana gochara, tvam akinchana gocharam, you are the property of the akinchana, is so that ultimately we can chant the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We can chant the holy name of the Lord with intense feeling. Because it's that feeling which is going to clean the heart. Otherwise the feeling will never come. Never ever it will come. You can try, but you are comfortable in your heart. You are feeling everything is very nice. Sab kuch theek hai. Everything is so wonderful. Everybody is respecting me, everything. You cannot get that feeling. Not possible. But you feel that, well, there's danger at every step. And not that you become a maniac, a fearful maniac. No. It's just that you have utter dependence on the Lord and not dependence on any of the things, any of the material things. Then you are not satisfied with material things. You are satisfied only with the dependence on Krishna. So this is one important aspect, that utter dependence on Krishna includes becoming akinchana. When you say, I'm utterly dependent, what does it mean? Akinchana, materially exhausted. And we'll explain further, what does it really mean to be materially exhausted? Another problem that happens through this material opulence that we have is that we start getting doubts. The demon of doubt. That doubt has been called, I was reading a book, it said that doubt has been called the shadow of truth. What is shadow? Shadow is the dark side of light. And doubt has been called the shadow of truth. Means, you know, wherever there is doubt, there cannot be truth. For a doubting soul, there is neither peace in this world or in the next. Because what is this doubt? How is this doubt created? Because till now, we have not seen the Lord through our senses. But material opulences we can experience, enjoy, feel through our senses. So slowly, slowly the doubt comes in our mind. That is it really secure to depend on Krishna whom I have not seen? Whom I have seen doing terrible things to people? And Krishna openly says, can you imagine a person saying that my special mercy is I take away everything? And Krishna still expects people to become his devotee. If you imagine, if a company advertises that you join my company and we will not pay you any salary, but we will take away whatever you have, will anybody join that company? But Krishna is making very clear that if you want to join my company, Krishna Incorporation, if you want to join my company, Krishna Public Limited, Public Unlimited, whatever you call it, if you want to join, then I will take away everything what you have. I will not give you anything. Maybe I'll give you something in the beginning, just that you become more attachment, then I'll take up everything. So we start getting doubts. As a neophyte stands, this I just read a beautiful article which I came across by Hayagriva Prabhu, Prabhupada's senior disciple. It's a beautiful article. I'll just read it as it is. Very, very wonderful English. As the neophyte stands at this threshold, confused and fearful, the doubts assail him and tell him to turn back. Not to jump in the ocean of divine bliss. And the timid soul, afraid of being hurt, hardly believing that it is eternal bliss and knowledge awaiting him, often fidgets at the threshold and sometimes turns back in fear and disbelief. Are you getting what happened? We are at the threshold. And here is the ocean of bliss. The ocean of nectar awaiting us. But it takes time for us to jump. And people who don't want to jump, you know, they can't get the mercy. So what happens at that point? Coming to that point is very easy. We got it, enthusiasm. We just come. And then it takes a point to jump. I have not been, but I think many devotees went to Badrinath. And there is one jumping point. What is it? That where people jump from? There is a point where they jump and they jump into the Ganges. And it is extremely fearful. They jump from the rafting. What, they jump right from the top. So it is a very fearful situation. But so to reach there, it is very easy. You know, people say, oh, it is fun, Ganges, Himalayas, you're nice. But once you see and you see down, you know, and there was one devotee, can't name him. He went there, he came back. You know, you couldn't do it because it was just so fearful. Because there was a doubt. What if? What if I fall down and something, you know, if I can't take it? So at the threshold, we all are the threshold. As a devotee, the threshold. We are all supposed to take the leap. But there's a doubt. The doubt comes into your mind. And what is the doubt? The doubt assails him and tells him to turn back. Turn back. Don't jump. And the timid soul, afraid of being hurt, hardly believing that there is eternal bliss awaiting him, he turns back. He becomes very fidgety. The right word is very fidgety. And what does the fidgety mean? He wants to enjoy sense gratification. He starts saying, well, this is too difficult. Fidgety means to become fidgety in our spiritual life means to start again getting desires for enjoying sense gratification. So he goes there. And doubt is directly opposed to faith. Doubt and disbelief are enemies of faith. Now, we are trying to have faith, shraddha, nishtha, and in the Lord's mercy. And what is the doubt? What is disbelief? It is actually opposite of faith. In the battlefield of life, or battlefield of the soul, one side is the faith, and other side is doubt and disbelief. And we have to fight against this. It is so important. The more we trust Krishna, the more he reveals himself to us. And the more he reveals himself to us, the less we doubt. Very wonderful statement made by Hayagriva Prabhu. This all thing is about trust. And it's a vicious cycle. How can I trust somebody whom I don't see? But you have to trust him, because once you trust him, he reveals you. And if you don't trust him, he will not reveal you. So once you trust him, he reveals to you. And once he reveals to you, you have a less doubt, because you actually experience Krishna. But the first thing that we need to put is faith. And the opposite of faith is we cannot have doubt. And the material sense gratification objects, they cannot allow us to have faith in Krishna. They'll always give us doubts. Now, how can you surrender to Krishna? For many of you, you know, who are in the brahmachari life or who have joined, you, at a point of time when you are threshold, how can you give up your career? That's why it is so glorious of what you all have done. That you have given up that threshold, you have overcome the threshold, and you have jumped. Not having any doubt that Krishna will take, avashya rakhibe Krishna. Krishna will always protect me. But when you are taking that leap of faith, there is a doubt. What if? There are so many ifs that comes to our life. So the more we trust Krishna, the more Krishna will reveal, and the more Krishna reveals, the more we can have faith in Him, and the less we have the doubts. That's a wonderful vicious cycle, but it begins with our trust in Krishna. So we see through the examples also, you know, that many times we try to put trust in material things. Now this story, which is quite a simple story, many we have heard many times, but it drives a very powerful point of Krishna accepting, Arjuna accepting Krishna instead of the Narayani Sena. Now we know the story that, you know, Duryodhan came, Arjun came, you know, Duryodhan said, I came first, Arjun said, I came first, Krishna said, no, I saw Arjun first. And then, you know, he gave the chance to Arjun to, and Arjun said, I want Krishna. And Duryodhan said, oh, what to do, I will take the Sena, you know, the Sena. And he was very happy because Duryodhan represents material calculation. Power through material calculation, through quantity. But Arjun, what a leap of faith. Here was the whole Sena. See the faith of this devotee. It is a brilliant story which will give us so much faith. That here is Arjun. Yes, they got the right of selecting it. Duryodhan didn't have any right. He didn't have the choice. Arjun had the choice. He selected Krishna. And he was not going to fight. I said, I want Krishna. And that is the choice we all have to make in the game of life. Krishna will give you the choice. You select what you want. You want material opulences, you want education, you want money, you want comfort, or you want myself. And myself means I will take away everything that you have. That is what it means when you have myself. What do you want? Arjun said, oh Lord, I want you. That is what we need to do. It's very sweet story, very difficult to follow in a practical life. Extremely difficult, that is for me. So similarly, Jesus Christ has said that blessed are they who do not, blessed are they that have not seen and yet they believe. If you see something and you believe, what is so great? But Jesus Christ said, he said it through to Thomas, who was a doubting disciple. The doubting Thomas, they call him. He said, you are blessed because you believed me, but you saw me. Blessed, the more blessed are those who don't see me, but yet they believe. What is the definition of faith? A definition of faith is a quantity of things. Implicit faith in something sublime. Sublime means you can't see. But implicit faith is, that is very important. So this is the discussion that we have done till now, is talking more about the dangers of material opulence. But how does it really apply to many of our devotees? We are sadhakas. How does it apply to us? Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam, va jagdish, kamaye, mama janmani, janmaneshwari, bhavatat, bhakti, ahetuki, tvai. That we don't want, and many of devotees, you know, because of the enthusiasm, because of the knowledge, they can easily give up dhanam, janam, sundarim. But the material energy is always after us, and many times they get entangled in the snare of followers. Prestige catches. This is the last snare of Maya. And of course, the pride is the last snare. Pride cometh before the fall, as they say. So last snare, the Maya is never leaving any person. Till you find both your feet in the spiritual world, only then Maya leaves you. Not even one feet, both the feet. If there's one feet, Maya is going to still pull you. We know examples in our shastras. Even one feet was in the spiritual world, but one feet is still in the hand, it pulls you. So Maya is always trying to catch devotees. It's not that, oh, I have given up dhanam. Dhanam is, I don't even know money. What is money? I don't know money. You can give up money. na dhanam, na janam. I mean, high parentage. And none of us have any, at least people sitting in the, none of us have high parentage. So it doesn't come into picture at all. We are all born simple people. Sundarim, I guess not so much of a problem. But followers. And then Maya catches you on the followers. And then the so-called Swamis and Babas, they get attached to followers. And it brings you, and that attachment to followers brings you down to again Sundarim. And you see these Babas getting involved with sex scandals and money scandals. Right? Is it not? You know, seen the news? How it all happens? They get detached, they get followers. And Maya says, oh, if not like this, like this. You get detached, you have followers, and then you come back. Punar Mushika Bhava. Again become a rat. And then you get attached to women, get attached to scandals, and you find newspapers after new, I mean, newspapers love these stories. And Babas are there to give the stories to them. That you find scandals, you find money scandals. And why? Because you give up money, you give up Sundarim, but your followers attack you, and then again you come back to the same problem. Sundarim and money is the problem. So that is there. So what is the solution to this? For devotees, how do we really protect ourselves from this opulence? Opulence is there, fine. Krishna is sending opulence. What do we do? This temple, when we came in 87, 88, 89, until 10 years back, was a very rundown temple. But Krishna has given us a beautiful arranged temple. Prasad was very opulent. Now it is a little simple. But we had a phase where it was very opulent prasad and we were enjoying. But now, of course, you know, Vada, Govardhan farm is the priority. So whatever. But what do we do when you get opulence? Because the fact is, the byproduct of bhakti, the byproduct, is a devotee starts getting opulences also. When you serve Narayan, Lakshmi comes. There's a byproduct. The main product is Krishna. But even you get opulences, and that's what we experience. Now, Prabhupada began with 44 rupees, and because he was serving Krishna, he got so many opulences. Is it not? It comes naturally. The important concept that we need to understand here is the concept of self-induced poverty. That, you know, we have opulences, but we need to have self-induced poverty. Yesterday, I was in one of the devotees' rooms, senior brahmachari, in the night, and I said, Prabhu, it's so hot. You don't on the fan? He said, no, I don't feel hot. And even if I feel hot, I'm getting used to staying without the fan. And he said, I'm following another brahmachari. Who is doing this? And that hit me. That here are these wonderful examples of people who have facilities, but they are having self-induced tapasya or poverty. And poverty means not that, I mean, to feel that you are poor. Not that you are poor, but to feel that you are poor, that you can't afford. If you feel that, then you will not waste any opulence that Krishna has given you unnecessarily. But if you think you have, then you will use it. I'm not against fans. Please don't, you know, there's nothing against fans or air conditions. I mean, there's nothing, I'm not making a statement, but I'm just making a statement of the mood of this devotee. Self-induced purpose. So this concept is very, very important of self-induced poverty. And we see unfortunate in devotees. You know, we become devotees. You know, we are Hare Krishna devotees. We chant Hare Krishna. And, you know, we have given up all the desires for sense gratification. I mean, we are trying to give up. But still, you know, we get so caught up in this snare of Maya. And we forget this aspect of self-induced poverty. We find devotees. You know, karmis. I mean, it's not a good word to use, karmis. The people outside the world were not devotees. I went to Ukraine. I was just passing by in Kyiv, and I passed by a shop, and there was a huge board written there, Maya, M-A-Y-A. Huge board. So I asked the devotee, what is this shop all about? It was a big shop, not a small storehouse. It was a huge shop. So I said, what is this? And the devotee started laughing. I said, you tell me, what is it for? Why are you laughing so much? I said, if I tell you, you will laugh. You will not believe it. I said, please tell me now, you know, enough, I'm getting excited, I want to know what is it. And this whole shop is having items to take care of nails. Nails. You know, how to beautify the nails, how to shape them, how to emboss them with diamonds and, you know, different things are done on the nails. You know, and you know, the highest, you know, they have a menu card, and the highest, the costliest nail, I don't know what it means, but the thing to do on the nail, the costliest was $35,000. And I said, what can you do with the nails? They said, they put diamonds in a nice design. And I said, this is, and the shop name was Maya. Huh? So we know that this is useless. This is sad. I went to, I was in some other place, and I saw a lot of flags. I said, what are these flags all over your country? What is this flags about? There's a football match. And this is the flag of our football team. Everywhere, all the cars were carrying the flag. All the stores were having the flag. Everywhere, flag. And I was saying, this is ridiculous. And the nail business is ridiculous. What is the use of nails? And then all this football. But when I come and I see, unfortunately, there are many devotees who spend thousands of rupees on nails, even devotees. In Bombay, in Radha Gopinath temple. And I was shocked. And many of our young children, they find no shame to talk for hours about football. I mean, you know, there's limit to shamelessness. We have become so shameless that we don't feel shameful to talk about football with other devotee. And I personally feel that this is nothing but having more faith and finding more happiness in the outside opulence, and because we don't find nectar in Krishna. And we are justifying, well, football, Prabhuji, you know, the whole world is doing, so I have to talk about football. What has football to do with devotees? What has cricket to do with devotees? It is sad. What is this, you know, hair straightening machines? Devotees are using those machines. Krishna has given you straight hair or curly hair. Be happy with it. Krishna, the more curlier the hair looks, it looks more beautiful. But devotees use hair straightening machines. You know, I don't have this habit, but I went to some devotee's bathroom and I opened the wrong cupboard and I saw all these things inside. I closed it and I said, I don't want to. But I made a judgment. What to do? I was forced to make a judgment. Then I was thinking that what is this? That we are more dependent. We are called ourselves devotees. We have come to a wonderful level, but we are not able to jump into the bliss of the ocean of Krishna consciousness. We are having the doubts, and we find security, support in many external things. Like football. These are just the recent things. But overall, we still find security in that. And the result, and the reason being, we don't find security in Krishna. Devotee spending tons of money on clothes. You need to wear clothes, no doubt. But why you need to wear a shoes of 5,000 rupees when you get a shoes of 800 rupees? What is the need? Self-induced poverty. You must have this principle in your life. That Krishna has given you money, but why should you spend unnecessarily? So if you use this understanding, then you will be akinchana gochara. In spite, because here the verse is talking about not giving up these opulences, but not having the satisfaction in those things. The more we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Machita madagada prana bodhyanta parasparam kathayantas chamam nityam tushyanticha ramanticha. What a brilliant two words. Tushyanti, complete satisfaction and complete bliss, ramanticha. But till the time you do not find satisfaction in Krishna Katha, Krishna Kirtan, Krishna devotees, and complete surrender, you will find bliss in hair straightening machines, in nail polishing, and opulent clothes and opulent shoes, and you will waste your money, and you will ask at the end of your life, why did I not make it? Because even you have the best philosophy, you didn't have the courage to jump. So Prabhupada is intensely telling us, if you want special mercy, we all talk about special mercy, right? I want special mercy, not mercy. I want special mercy. Today I got special mercy of Guru Maharaj. Special mercy means, you know, we all want special mercy. Very good. It's a good feeling. It's a good desire to have special mercy. Krishna is openly telling you and me today, when do you get special mercy? And Krishna is telling, when somebody is not proud. And what does it mean to be proud? When somebody is not finding bliss in any of these things, but is finding bliss in Krishna Katha and Krishna Kirtan. And the brilliant example, I would like to end the class, is in the example of King Pratapa Rudra Maharaj. Recently, Rath Yatra was celebrated. This person had everything. He was a powerful king. Unrivaled. Very powerful person in Orissa. But what did he do when he wanted to meet Lord Chaitanya? And when he wanted to attack the Lord's mercy, he wore the dress of a bhangi. Self-induced poverty. Is it not? That even though I'm a king, I can wear an opulent dress, but I want to wear a dress of a bhangi. I want to wear a dress of a servant. And you know, and he went to meet Lord Chaitanya. He was massaging his feet and he was feeling himself to be the most insignificant person. Right? So that is our role model. King Pratap Rudra Maharaj. That in spite of having everything, he was simply wanting to give up everything or do whatever it takes rather. Not even give up everything. Do whatever it takes to please the Lord. If Lord wants him to stay in the palace, I'll be staying in the palace. If Lord wants me to stay in the wherever the Lord is happy, I'll stay there. But the main thing is, I want to derive bliss in serving the Lord. I want to get the special mercy of the Lord. I want to find security in the Lord's lotus feet. I want to find security and happiness, not in anything material outside of this, outside of the Lord's mercy. So if we all can inspire each other to take this leap of faith, to have complete shelter, and that's why village life is more conducive than city life. When you go to village, you are naturally dependent upon the Lord. Vasudev Prabhu was telling me, we were in Vada last Sunday. I said, even if you want to buy a small matchstick in Vada, you have to go 20 kilometers. We are used to just paying money and getting it. Everything is very easy for us. So we become very dependent on these things. But when you work hard for something, you realize. You realize it is Krishna who is the doer, and it is not easy to get anything unless and until Krishna is merciful to us. But city life is simply a life which is just bombarded to make you feel comfortable, make you feel the doer, make you feel the enjoyer. And the less and less we take shelter of Krishna. It's not that we go to the villages. We can, if we can, we should. But to have the village-like life in a city life. If you can walk, why take a taxi? Self-induced poverty. So many, many things. Simple living, high thinking. Because we are not dependent on these things. We are not dependent on Krishna. And let us not think of Yukta Vairagya principle. We are not those elevated personalities that we can use Yukta Vairagya and Krishna. I can think of football and think of Krishna playing in Vrindavan football. It's not possible like that. Sometimes devotees become so shameless that they know it. I mean, it is so shameless that they know it and still they do it. It's so sad actually. And I'm one of them. I'm not pointing finger at anybody. I'm a shameless person. We know things, still we do it. So let us be having some sanity in our life. And let us find the sanity only in Krishna's lotus feet. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions, any comments from my... from the fellow Vaishnavas, any corrections? Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.